Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Boley is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Boley.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Boley. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. I don't know if you heard about this, but some ranchers have been losing a battle over wild horses, and specifically, they're losing a battle over grazing restrictions. You may have saw, I think it probably was at least 6 months ago now, when that was all over the news, what was taking place where a certain rancher, can't remember the area of the country where that was taking place, but it became a very popular issue on the news. They actually had a number of people from around the country that appeared there in order to help that rancher. Clive, I think his name was. That's right, Clive, and it was in Nevada. And in Nevada, they went ahead and had a number of people come from around the country in order to support him in what he was doing. Well, in the latest issue of World Magazine, as part of their Daily Dispatches section of that, Angela Liu writes about another case here with ranchers losing this battle over wild horses and their grazing restrictions that are being imposed upon them by the federal government. So I want to talk about this a little bit on the first half of the program today. Angela is a reporter for World News Group, and she lives in Los Angeles. Angela, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, Angela, tell us a little bit about this story. I think the rancher's name is Ben Colvin, I think, in this issue. So tell us a little bit about Ben and what's going on there.
Okay, sure. Yeah, so the story that you're talking about is a web extra for a magazine story that I've also written about the same issue of environmentalists and the federal government trying to remove ranchers from federal land.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Colvin's story, he is a 75-year-old fourth-generation rancher, and pretty much he's been on this property in Goldfield, Nevada, for 40 years, and because of the Wild Horse and Burro Act, which was passed in the 70s, ranchers are not allowed to kill or capture wild horses. Mm-hmm. And these are horses that in the past were released by miners. They're not native to the land, but because of this bill, the number of horses in the rangeland in the West has exploded. It's doubled what the land can handle. And for Ben Colvin, it meant that the horses were competing for the same feed and water as his cattle were.
Mm-hmm.
And so pretty much in his situation, what happened is over time, he just realized that he was unable to continue ranching, and different complications came up, such as he stopped paying his grazing permits because of very restrictive regulations that the BLM, or the Bureau of Land Management, had placed on him.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, after he fought it in battle for a number of years, he ended up selling off all his cattle, and he told me that the day he sold off his cattle, it felt like cutting off his right hand.
Mm. So he had rights to be able to take his cattle onto what is federal land, and had a right to go on there to graze his cattle on that land. Is that correct?
Yeah. So a lot of this goes way back to the 1800s when settlers came out west. And what they did then was that they were able to secure water rights And that was that the way that worked was it was pretty much the first sellers who could find beneficial use for the water was able to have water rights.
Mm-hmm.
But at that time, the federal government did not dispose of the land to the states when these states were created as they did in other areas. And so the land was still owned by the government. And years later, the government created the Bureau of Land Management to kind of to manage that land, to make sure that there wasn't overgrazing.
Mm.
And all of these ranchers would then have to pay for 10-year grazing permits on that land. And so, but after the creation of this agency, some of the BLM agents started to place very burdensome regulations on these ranchers that made it very difficult for them to even access their own water rights. And so in some of these instances, it's like in Ben's case, they've actually kicked the ranchers off of that land completely.
So there's a couple of issues surrounding this. This is one is, well, I could think of three of them, I guess, but one is the BLM itself, and why is it suddenly being so aggressive and agitating these ranchers and what they've been doing. So the BLM is one issue. Second issue is just, you know, him being able to have access, I guess, to that land, and that's kind of related to the BLM as well. But the third issue that seems to come up here is that you mentioned about all of these horses, as many as 48,000 of these horses have now, you know, as you said, they exploded in population on these lands. What exactly does Ben want to do with the horses? Does he want to, you know, have some sort of program implemented where the horses, some of the horses can be moved off? Does he want to have hunting rights that they could go and thin the herd that way and then use the horse meat for some sort of, you know, maybe for feed or for some, you know, feeding people if people are eating the horses? Or what does he exactly want to do with those horses?
Right. So for many years, every time he would deal with these large amounts of horses on his land, he would call the BLM because it is the BLM's job to round up these horses and take them away to different holding areas. But because of the explosion of these holding areas have been maxed out. And so the BLM has been run thin and unable to deal with all of the horses.
Mm.
So for many years, what he was really asking for was really just for the BLM to do their job.
Mm.
And he also mentioned that another aspect is that because ranchers are not able to kill or capture these horses, a lot of these horses end up running out of food. And he was describing to me the process in which a horse starves to death is a very inhumane process, and it would be better to just slaughter that horse in some cases.
Right. Many people hear the idea of, you know, taking the animal's life, and, of course, people, animal rights organizations and all that right away are up in arms about it and so forth. And horse lovers, you know, would find this probably anathema as well. But when you look at what takes place, that animal is going to die. But it's going to die through a drawn out, painful process of starvation, or it's going to die in a different way where you can actually make use of the animal afterwards, you know, for other products and things like that, and in a much more humane way for this animal to be put to death. So it's not as if the animal is not going to die and this rancher just wants to take their life. The land cannot support 48,000 horses being on that land. It's not something's going to give, and the horses are going to end up dying. So what's he planning on doing now about this situation? Is there anything that he can do? Has he been completely put out of business, or does he have any legal recourse whatsoever?
Right. So for Ben Colvin, he has actually sold off all his cattle in 2008, and which means that he's actually given up the ranching business that's been in his family for four generations. It also means that because he isn't using the water for his cattle, he's lost his water rights as well.
Mm.
So he's actually, him and his family, they're just completely out of the business now.
Mm. And he attributes that basically to being forced out by the BLM. Is that a fair assessment?
Right.
Hmm. Is the BLM, and the ironic part of this was that the BLM, when they were first created, was actually supposed to be created to help the ranchers. And so now when we hear about a rancher being forced out by the BLM, this is completely juxtaposed to what their original mission was, right?
Right. And so one of the biggest stories, the biggest examples of this is actually Ben Colvin's neighbor, Wayne Hage. And they have actually been fighting a 35-year legal battle over the rights to graze on the land.
Wow.
Right. So it started in the late 70s when Wayne Hage and his family moved onto this. It's a 75,000-acre ranch called Pine Creek Ranch.
Wow.
And of that land, 99% of it is federally owned, 1% is private. And since the beginning, the BLM has given them they've constantly changed the amount of cattle they allow on each piece of part of the land. They can constantly change when the cattle are allowed to graze. And when the Hages were not able to keep up with all these demands, they were given trespass fines, they were given citations. And all this came to head in 1991 when they actually rounded up some of these cattle that they claim were trespassing, and the BLM took the cattle, sold them, and kept the money. And at that point, Wayne Hage decided to file a takings claim against the BLM.
Mm.
And so that actually is what started the legal battle. And every time the judges would side with the Hages, the federal government would then again appeal and continue that until actually Wayne and his wife passed away. And now his son and daughter are continuing this legal fight.
Wow.
And
35-year legal battle with the federal government. Wow. Most people don't work at the same job for 35 years.
Right.
And, you know, and the battle outlasted the original plaintiffs in the battle. That's just, boy, you see, they have the resources. They can keep this thing going forever. And the family then is, you know, all the heartache and headache involved in trying to do it. If anybody has ever just had any discrepancy whatsoever with something dealing with the federal government and tried to get it fixed, you understand what sort of a headache and the bureaucracy involved that is. Can you imagine this for 35-year battle? Boy, they just have these ways of tormenting people through this bureaucracy. And let me ask you, it seems to me, and especially with the title of one of your related articles here that speaks about the Hags drama unfolding, it's entitled, for our listeners' sake, Long Land Battle, and then it says, it's listed in the category of environment, and it starts with this word, environmentalists, right at the very beginning of it. Is that what we're talking about behind the scenes? Is this, again, this environmentalist pressure that is being put on people through the use of the heavy-handed use of the federal government, and in this case, it's being put upon Americans' ranchers?
Yeah, I think that these national environmentalist groups they're very clear that they want to get rid of all ranching on public land. If you go onto some of these websites, they will say that they want to end the scourge of public lands ranching. And the reason they say they want to get rid of ranching is that they believe the cattle and the ranchers are overgrazing the land. They believe that grazing is destroying these national habitats, and killing off endangered species. But the ranchers I spoke to, they were telling me that they actually have the greatest incentive to continue taking care of that land because they want to be able to pass that land down to their children and to make sure that the feed in that area is able to last for generations.
Mm-hmm.
And they also mentioned that if all the cattle were taken off that rangeland, a lot of these plants would become overgrown and then become kindle for forests or just fires.
Right.
And that would actually be even worse for the environment. And so Ramona Morrison, who is the daughter of Wayne Hage, she told me that this kind of brings it back to one of the first roles that God gave man in the Garden of Eden, which was to cultivate and subdue the land.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. These environmentalists, the very aggressive, radical element associated with the environmentalists, which, by the way, we just saw their influence again just yesterday, I believe it was, with the failure of the Keystone Pipeline again to pass. Primarily, that was due not to the fact that people didn't want the increased jobs, not to the fact that actually there have been a number of environmental studies done for what, like 5 years, maybe 6 years on this project. Just every study imaginable has been done on it, trying to stop it. And all those studies have proved that there wouldn't be that great of an impact on the environment. But because the environmentalists hate oil so much, they just can't stand it and view it as being, you know, a filthy way to provide energy. They have shot this thing down, and it's going to take now up until January when the new Congress is in. Then they will vote again on this subject, and then in January it will pass. And then finally we can move forward with this. But apparently they seem to want a pristine environment. Like, you take this land out here where you're talking about in Nevada and so forth. There was buffalo on there before there was cattle on there. So if you want to go back to the natural use of it beforehand, you're going to find that there was a lot more buffalo on the range that were eating these grasses and so forth long before they had these cattle out there. And so, you know, they just have this wrong-headed idea about keeping everything pristine and without using it, as if the earth is not here for our use. Plus, think of all the people that are going to be fed from these cattle and so forth when they're eventually slaughtered and sent to market and so forth. It's almost as if, you know, the humans then are supposed to find some other place to live besides making use of the planet that God has placed us on. Do you see those elements in this as well?
Definitely, definitely. And in the case you mentioned earlier of Clive and Bundy, which was, like you mentioned, earlier this year, mm-hmm. and people were taking up arms to protect his cattle from being taken from the BLM. There was a lot of noise, a lot of media that covered the event, that covered the person of Clive and Bundy. But really, if you take a step back and look at what caused him to do what he did, that also goes back to the act of this environmentalism mm-hmm. idea, which is that in 1989, the Fish and Wildlife Services deemed the Mojave Desert tortoise an endangered species. And because of that, they wanted to kick all of the ranchers in Clark County, Nevada, off of their land, stop grazing completely.
Oh, boy.
And so these ranchers, they hired an attorney and was able to argue in court that the cattle were not the one killing the tortoises, because cattle don't step on tortoises. They don't kill the tortoises. And that, mm-hmm. and the judge actually sided with the ranchers, and so they were able to continue ranching for another year. But because the federal government controlled the grazing permits, the next year came around, and again, they wanted to kick the ranchers off again when it came time to renew. And again, they went to court. Again, they won. But what the federal government showed then was that they could continue bringing this up year after year because they had control over the grazing permits.
Mm.
So what ended up happening is the Clark County also wanted that land in order to develop more of Las Vegas. But in that development, they would also be killing off tortoises. So they struck a deal with the Fish and Wildlife Services saying that they would pay $550 per acre to start another conservation site if they were allowed to develop on that area.
Mm.
And they also promised to help get rid of the ranchers. So they ended up paying off all these ranchers to leave because that would be cheaper than continuing to pay these attorney's fees to fight for their cause.
Mm.
And so 50 of the ranchers decided to leave, and the one person who decided to stay was Cliven Bundy.
Mm.
And so that is kind of what led to that standoff we saw earlier this year.
Right. Again, the radical environmentalists behind the scenes on these things over and over and over again. You know, I don't think most people in America, although they don't want polluted areas, rightfully so, and they want to take reasonable steps, of course, for clean air and clean water. We all want that. But I think when they understand just how radical these groups are and what they are willing to protect and then what they are willing to lose in order to protect, a couple of these species in this case a turtle, other cases it's been a smelt in one area, where there's huge battles in California over the water. They kind of cut off their nose in spite of their face. You know, they don't realize that they overlook the tremendous benefits that are there in order for their obsession over, again, some sort of a utopian view or pristine environment that they're looking for. And they just have this wrong-headed worldview as to what the actual environment that we're put in is designed to be used for. So I think that this has really exploded even more so under the Obama administration. He's been beholden to a lot of these special interest groups, and they feel somewhat empowered by that. And that's why I think we see, this kind of ratcheting up during the Obama administration. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree, definitely. In the case of the Hages, they've been fighting this for 35 years. So
yeah.
It's kind of been seen that no matter who is president, the Bureau of Land Management is continuing to mismanage that land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just seems to get more aggressive, like all of a sudden there with the Clive Bundy thing, it was time we're going to stop them from going in there now. And then pretty soon we've got a standoff with federal agents, lined up. What was ironic during that whole standoff, too, was that they erected a fence in between the ranchers and the federal agents. And I thought to myself, well, they obviously think a fence works there. They should try putting a fence at the border. But that's another issue. Obviously, they believe that fences do work for keeping people in one area and out of another. But anyways, they've got armed federal agents standing up against American citizens. It ratcheted up to that point. And I just feel that the aggressive part of this is they feel somewhat emboldened by some of the successes that they've achieved in Congress and from the Obama administration as a result of it. Even as I pointed out yesterday with the Keystone Pipeline again failing in the Senate as a result of the environmentalist influence on a lot of those senators. Angela, thanks so much for talking about these issues. The people in our listening audience, as I converse with a number of them, they're very interested in personal property rights. And I make a case on the broadcast and have before that God believes and is for people having property. And this is something that we see spelled out in the scripture. So I think it's very important that we talk about these issues and about how the land, of course, you went all the way back to the dominion mandate that's there in Genesis. we can make a biblical case for these things. And I think that articles like you put here in World Magazine and out on their website at worldmag.com are really helpful for us to see how we should apply these things to real life stories. So thank you so much for writing about this. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. That was Angela Liu again, as I mentioned at the top of the broadcast. She's a reporter for World Magazine, and you can read about her articles. There's a couple of them that are related to what we were talking about. Again, that website is www.worldmag.com. That's www.worldmag.com. The one article was dealing with the long land battle, and that was that 35-year battle that she was talking about. And then the other one that we were referring to was talking about a more recent case of what's taking place with some ranchers there as well, as we were talking about. His first name was Ben. Ben, the rancher there, his issues that were opening up on that related to grazing restrictions and so forth. You can check them out both there at worldmag.com.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.